All right, this is Pure Decking for February the 14th, 1936. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody who, like me, is sitting completely by themselves. If you're not sitting by yourself, get out. This show's not for you. Now, this is the show about stuff that interests me. I'm Morps, and I don't have a panel tonight, obviously. So, looks like I'm on my own for tonight, but that's okay. Show might be a little bit on the shorter side because I've got nobody to bounce off of. But we're going to make it work. So, jumping right into current events, this one's from Ars Technica. Unfortunately, it's difficult to do witty banter by myself, so we're going straight into news stories. This one's from Ars Technica. Canada's conservative government has reintroduced an internet surveillance bill that would allow the government to obtain information about internet subscribers without a warrant. The legislation would require service providers to provide law enforcement with IP addresses, email addresses, phone numbers, and other information on demand. The bill would also require ISPs and cell phone companies to install equipment for real-time surveillance and create new police powers designed to obtain access to the surveillance data. Members of the opposition have vowed to fight the legislation. More than 80,000 people have signed an online petition opposing the bill. And really? That's all? I would think the entire population of Canada would have signed that. Anyways. Challenged by an opposition member about the proposal, Public Safety Minister Vic Towes cited child pornography as a justification for the bill. Opponents of the legislation can either stand with us or with the child pornographers, he said. Apparently, if you care about civil liberties in this country, you obviously side with child pornographers, murderers, countered Green Party leader Elizabeth May. You are the worst form of scum if you believe the Charter is an important instrument for the rule of law in this country. I'm horrified by this kind of rhetoric. It demeans us all. Yeah, just finishing out the quote there. What Canada's doing is their government is trying to get wiretapping into all internet traffic. Now, the fun part about that is they want it. They want it for Canadian citizens, but just like any country on the internet, lots of people's traffic flows through those routers at any given point. If you've got a major provider in Canada, that means they can wiretap on anybody anywhere, essentially. That and they want real-time surveillance capabilities, which is a span port. Whoop-de-doo. But yeah, this is a problem. Not so much because they want to do it, because if you think about it, they've already got this ability with the telephone system and to a certain extent the mail system, except they sort of need a court order to do that kind of stuff. And if that's good enough for the phone system, I don't know why with the internet you need a warrantless system. I mean, if you were to take the same proposal and apply it to something else, like, say, we're going to have a police cruiser follow everyone around whenever they're in their car because they could have an accident or they could be going to commit a crime. And obviously, if you are opposed to the idea of being tailed by a police officer at all times if you're in a motor vehicle, then you're obviously siding with bank robbers who use the cars to get away. It's the same argument they're making, except they throw in child porn in here so that if you even try to stand against them, be like, nope, you're supporting child porn, which... In an electoral body, that's not good. That's a good way to get not elected very quickly. So that's a little bit scary that they're going straight to the child porn argument, which is unfortunate because nobody likes child porn. It's horrifying, and people who perpetrate it. And, oh, God, we have an incoming syntax. And everybody gets to hear the Skype ringtone. Yay! Hey, I'm not on my own after all.
Fuck no, because holy shit, you're really fucking loud.
I am?
Yeah.
I haven't touched the volume. Live leveling. We are professional. I need to have that sound clip up and ready to go. I don't have it. Am I still blowing you out?
No. I had my volume turned way the fuck up on my piece of shit computer.
Ah. Well, hang on a second here. Let me get you a copy of our good old-fashioned show notes. Live, on air.
Oh, hey, we're on the... Oh, has the intro already played?
Oh, yeah. I've already started and read the first story.
Oh, well, you suck.
Yeah, I thought... I didn't get a response from anybody, so it's like, well, I'm on my own. That's not
Sorry,
true.
I
did get a response from Fox. He's not able to make it.
So. Yeah, I was eating dinner with Desperate One.
Well... It is a holiday for that. So
it's Oh, wait. I think someone might want to go off on this holiday. We have come up with about 10 different alternate names for this holiday.
Excuse to sell chocolate day?
No, far better than that.
Oh, well, go nuts.
Okay, hold on. Let me pull them up because we
read a list.
Yeah, we have a list. So it started off this morning at 10 o'clock with the desperate one sending me a text message that said that she was going to stab the next person who mentions Valentine's Day. And I told her that, yes, I've been wishing people happy Beheaded Guy Day.
Because, beheaded guy.
Yeah, Saint Valentine, before he was a saint. I don't know. He loved someone like an aristocrat, something. I don't know. They had his fucking head cut off.
Yeah.
That's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating the beheading of a guy.
Well, there are worse things we could be celebrating, so.
That is true. And the probably, I think, the best one for this day
and
was.
We've got Dead Guy on a Stick Day, too, so, you know.
Yeah, we do. And we have Dead
I
Guy.
I actually am a Christian, so I get to make that joke. So.
Yeah, we have Zombie Jesus Day.
Yeah, we have that.
Yeah, but Mary's, or I'm sorry, Desperate Ones.
Oops,
oh well. yeah, the best one ever was...
I need a buzzer.
People don't love you any other day of the year either day.
Yeah, that sounds about right, doesn't it?
Yeah. And then there's happy love is a chemical reaction in your brain and thus can be either created or destroyed with the right drug combination day. And happy let's celebrate corporate greed by creating a holiday to sell stuff day.
Yeah, there's always that.
And happy Hallmark tells you how to feel day. Yeah, happy destruction of the Earth's ecosystem by mass slaughter of flowers and fruits day.
Nah.
And happy chocolate lobbyist day.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So those were the top ones there.
Yeah. Well, since I opened the show by myself, I skipped the whole witty banter portion of the intro there. So the first story, just to recap it real quick, the Canadian government is trying to pass a bill right now that requires ISPs and cell phone providers to install equipment for real-time surveillance and will allow the government to obtain information about internet subscribers without a warrant, specifically IP, email, phone number, and probably billing address at any time, no warrant. And when they asked them about it, they said child porn.
Child porn. Oh.
You know, it's sort of like the terrorism argument in the States. It's like, honestly, I'm sitting here going through my show notes, and it's like, yeah, we're going to have a repeat of I Have Nothing where I just start ranting. I yelled at Knox the other night. I don't even know what I said to him. I was so pissed when the show was going on.
Oh, yeah. God, it was good. That whole – because both you and I kind of got a little angry. There
a little
the
a yeah. little I had okay. to like I had to stop in the middle of the show and get a glass of water because I thought I was gonna fall over.
Yeah, it was good. We haven't had good ranting like that for a long time.
So we may get a little bit of that today, and I'm full of more stories just to piss me off. So
yeah, child porn. But on the plus side, my billing address is not where I live. The phone is not under my name. I keep the GPS disabled. and I have gone about that in a different way than just clicking the button.
You keep it in one of those little anti-static bags, don't you?
No.
I've got one of those. It works.
But I should. That'd be awesome. A little Faraday cage bag.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're cheap. They're like $3 on Deal Extreme.
Yeah. The only problem is when you have it in that bag, you can't get calls.
Well, the purpose of the phone is not for people to call me. It's for me to call other people. So if it's in the little bag and I can't get calls, that's fine. But if I want to call someone, then I'll take it out of the bag, wait 30 seconds for it to get signal, and place my call. You would not believe the amount of telemarketers this angers.
I bet.
So.
Yeah. But see, this here, this for child porn thing, they're doing a tactic that I very much enjoy, especially in counter protests or dealing with assholes. Because if you, especially in a counter protest, like there was one of the really gory anti-abortion protests.
Oh, I hate those. I mean,
oh, I know.
I mean, you want to talk? Yeah, it's a way of getting attention, but that's just wrong. I mean,
it is.
If you have never seen, if our listeners, if you've never seen these anti-abortion rallies, what we're talking about is I'm not talking about the anti-abortion movement. That's a political thing. We try to stay away from politics for the most part. What I'm talking about is a very specific subset of the anti-abortion movement. They stand outside with these posters, and they have
it's
photos of the fetus, but they're.
Yeah.
Those are like
dead,
the ones from
mutilated.
They're like from partial birth abortions or something, and I mean they're like chopped up. It's nasty, gory. They just make you sick. Nobody needs to be standing around with signs like that. It's like a gore movie.
Yeah. Especially someone who might have possibly been forced to have an abortion for some reason, whether it be rape or medical reasons or something like that, and they're upset about it already. Then you show them this fucking gore porn, and all of a sudden, what is that? What's that going to do?
That point aside, there's an aspect of decency here that's completely lost when you start going to that level. And it's the same thing with the child porn argument. It's like we're throwing all rational thought out the window and throwing this in your face so we can get our way.
Yeah. And so the best anti-protest I ever saw for one of them, because I think, a lot of people go, oh, well, anti-protests are trying to limit someone's free speech. It's like, no, you're exercising your First Amendment to disagree with them. Okay. But the best one I ever saw was the anti-protesters told or were chanting at the gore protesters, to take their child porn and go away.
Nice.
And they were talking to all the media that was there covering it and saying this is the most horrific form of child porn because it's snuff gore fetus porn.
I don't think they're wrong. That's the worst part.
Don't.
The last time I saw one of the protests that uses that particular tactic, it was hilarious because it was at a big box store, and a guy gets out of his truck and walks over to him, and we're driving down by, and I can hear this guy because he's yelling at him this loud, and he's like, "You need to take that shit and get the hell out of here." And it's like you're infringing on our right to protest. And he's like, "No, I don't disagree with your viewpoint. I disagree with you having that fucking sign up here."
Yeah,
and I mean, so it's, these people piss off even the anti-abortion people. So
yeah, it's like and even for for our listeners that haven't seen one of these protests, they're not little signs.
Oh no, they're huge.
The signs I saw were easily 25 foot long by 10 or 15 foot tall. They were fucking huge. But see what the Canadian people are doing is they're making their argument. So if you argue against it, you look like an ass.
Yeah, well, it's the equivalent is their government is holding up those signs and saying CCC. That's the rough equivalent. And we've spent way too long on this, but it's just like, damn. I mean,
yeah.
So
and. So, Canadian government, fuck off. That's all I have to say.
Well, their ISPs made the right move and declared as just dumb pipes. They're not responsible for what goes across. It's just what I don't get is the whole warrantless thing. It's like, yeah, if you want to require the ISPs to be able to tap, that's fine. But when you show up, you better have a freaking warrant.
Exactly.
That's the point of it. That's the whole purpose. I don't care you saying, okay, we have to have a facility to be able to go in here and monitor. That makes sense, but you have to have a warrant.
Yeah.
So
and
if you think somebody's trading in the kitty corn, get the evidence and go bust their ass and, when you catch them, nightstick them until they, can't see anymore. I don't care, but...
Exactly. Push him down the stairs while he's handcuffed and go, he tripped. It fixes a lot of things there.
So, anyways, rocket sailing right over to the next one here. Another one just designed to piss me off. This is from Wall Street Journal too, or their blog. Uh-oh. Does using a fake name when you sign up for a cell phone plan mean the government can get information from your phone without a warrant? That's one argument the Department of Justice is making in an Arizona case, that using a false name is fraud and means you don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy. Such a stance might raise questions about widespread practice of using pseudonyms to sign up for online services. Legal experts say it's unlikely a court would ever take the argument that far. This is, let's see, I want to skip some of this. Here we go. The courts have recently found that a warrantless search is okay if the person used fraud to get the thing being searched, said Susan Friedwald, a professor at the University of San Francisco School of Law. In one example, the defendant had bought a computer with a stolen credit card, and the person who actually owned the card consented to the search. Now, that's cool. That's fun.
Yeah.
I think that's fun.
I say go hard.
Yeah. In another, the defendant was receiving mail addressed to an alias because he only used for fraud. So, in other words, he had set up a fake identity. Now, the problem with that is it's really easy to go, oh, well, we're searching you. No, where's your warrant? Well, we think your name is fake. You know,
yeah.
That's open to abuse fairly quickly. So, but the really fun quote was, it's not against the law to use a fake name, said Adam Candub, Director of Intellectual Property, Information and Communications Law Program at Michigan State. The use of a fake ID and signing of a lease might be a different matter. It can be fraudulent if you're entering into a contract under a fake name, but the simple retail transaction of the law is not clear. Ms. Friedwald,
wait a minute.
Yeah.
So okay.
You can use a fake name as long as you're not entering into a contract.
Big just a fucking minute here. Writers have been doing this for fucking years. They've been writing under pen names.
And ghostwriting.
Yeah, and guaranteed they're entering into a contract. Because, you know, they have to get paid somehow.
Well, they're probably entering into the contract under their real name. And it's just in the contract, we will publish under this name.
Oh, ooh, another one. Desperate one app just kind of whispered this from
across. Put
her
on mic.
I would. Okay, here, hold on. Let me see. Okay. It's Valentine's Day, so I'm not taking the headset off. So I'm just going to get really, really close.
So would that possibly allow the search of a hotel room should some politician rock star check into a hotel under an assumed name? Would that then be allowable under this new law?
I would say so.
That's buckets of win.
I would absolutely say so. If somebody is, if they're using a fake name to... You know, for so they don't get mobbed. People do, you know, celebrities do that. But generally what they do is they have an assistant who nobody really knows their name, take it out in their name. So, but yeah, if it's, you know, if it's some celebrity and they're just using Joe Bob Smith as a name, as a pseudonym, you know, as opposed to having their assistant, you know, put it in their name or something, then yeah, go for broke.
So by this, because copyright... is kind of an implied contract. So anyone who's ghostwritten or written under a pen name, does that mean that all their copyright just kind of goes out the window? Because it was written by this fake pseudonym.
Well, it comes back to fraud, doesn't it? So it's a question of is using a pseudonym fraud? I mean, we all use pseudonyms on the show. Is this show fraud because I'm using Morps instead of John?
Yes.
Well, Morps is a more interesting name. So
this show has been fraud since day one.
Well, I try. But it's just interesting because this gets really weird really quick when you think internet services, because I do a lot under handles.
Yeah.
I would say more people know me as Morps than they know me as my real name.
Yeah, God.
So, what does that mean?
It's like just thinking about it. I've known more as Syntax by probably more people than, well, I don't know. Fuck, I know a lot of people in real life too, though. I don't know. It's probably 50-50.
Well, I know a lot of people in real life, but most of the people I hang out with, and even the ones that I hang out with both online and offline, generally they're calling me Morps. So,
yeah,
you know, and that is a little bit weird when somebody's in the same room with you and uses your online handle. But hey, whatever.
Yeah, well, it's like RU. I don't think I could call RU anything else.
Oh, at Gen Con, no. At Gen Con, everyone was going by their handles. I mean. Nobody was going around like, "Hey, Brian," or something like that. Because fuck, I didn't know who the hell that was. It's like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's weird. In fact, okay, there was a social networking site which I'll get into when I start my show.
How is that coming, by the way?
I'm ready to do it. Basically, we just gotta work all the technical stuff out.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I go as. I actually go as Sin, S-Y-N, because I've gone as both Sin and Syntax for a long time.
Sure.
And it was really weird going to the first little meetup, and people were like, "Oh, Sin!" And I'm like, wow, that's fucking surreal.
It is a little bit odd the first couple of times it happens to you, isn't it?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyways, it's just, this is interesting. Now, in this particular case, what was it? Somebody had signed up for a cell phone using a fake ID. And paid in cash. And
okay.
So now they're saying that that's fraud, so we've got the right to wiretap and search the phone.
Yeah. Now, see, I've bought burner phones before when I was traveling and have used fake names on them.
Sure. It's even more fun to use fake names at restaurants, but that's just me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, most people think that I'm using a fake name anyways because my last name is very interesting. So, yeah, that's actually kind of odd. But I think it really what it comes down to is the government is just trying to look for a legal way to circumvent, what is it, the Fourth Amendment?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure because, if you know, they're specifically going after fraud in this case and saying, well, if you're using a fake name to do fraud, you obviously have no rights because you're doing fraud. I just worry that they're going to immediately assume, oh, well, Joe Bob Smith, that's obviously a fake name. And it's like, oh, no, that really was his name. We just assumed it was fake so we could search his shit.
Yeah. Well,
I don't really have a problem with the concept, the way they're employing it. I just feel like it's way open for abuse.
Yeah. Well, and you know, they did a lot of things under the guise of anti-terrorism, too, that are now being just horribly abused.
Yeah. So, you know, because they, not like they have a track record or anything.
Yeah.
Let's see. All right. Next up story here. This one is from Neowin. And
I love the title.
Oh, yeah. Damon Tools knows what you mounted last summer. That's right. They know how much you paid that hooker. Anyways. Yeah, the actual story here. According to Within Windows, Damon Tools' anonymous data collection isn't really all that anonymous, and turning it off doesn't really turn it off. Mount Space is a service that keeps track of the software that people are mounting and running in Damon Tools. It does this by keeping track of every image you mount, along with the information regarding the specific ISO you mounted. And it knows if you're a first-time user. And by sending all this information home, it ends up with your IP address and your history, and, you know, whatever else the program's watching for. Damon Tools offers you the option of disallowing Mount Space from using your mount statistics at installation, but it doesn't actually stop them from collecting the data. So in other words, the checkbox doesn't say, don't send my data, you know, off. It just says, don't use my data.
Which, bullshit, they're not using
it. Yeah. You know, and as the privacy setting itself says, you're not telling it to stop collecting the information. You're just telling it not to allow Mount Space to use your data. Supposedly, it's supposed to be deleted when it hits their servers, but bullshit. So,
yeah, if I'm getting that much data coming in, I'm not fucking deleting that shit.
No, of course
fuck
not.
And it's worth money.
Well, not only is that worth money, think about this. What do most people mount with Damon Tools? ISOs they got off torrents.
Yeah.
So now you've got IP addresses, timestamps, and oh, look, they mounted, I don't know, you know, Adobe CS4 dash whatever release group. You know, dash, yeah. You know, dot from the Pirate Bay, dot ISO. I mean, so, yeah, they've apparently been keeping track of that. And I don't understand. I honestly don't understand what the point of tracking that is. What do you care what my ISO names are unless you're specifically looking for shit like that?
Yeah. And, ooh, yeah. Fuck,
seriously, they say it's for market research. What the hell kind of market research are you doing if, you know, that you need the names of my ISOs?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. They don't.
So I don't even know what the hell they need that for. Don't worry. In Digital Dojo, we've got a replacement tool. But, yeah, so don't use Daemon Tools, which I don't – I've used it a little bit here and there, and I also never really caught that it was doing that. So I don't use it that much. So that's probably why I never noticed it in any of the logs or the IDS. But
there was something else in there that I was looking at that made me think of something, and then I forgot.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, fuck, I don't remember.
All right. Funny. Now we got a funny story. This one's from All Things D. Sony says it's sorry that it raised prices on two Whitney Houston albums at Apple's UK iTunes store the day after the singer's death. Really? Really? On Sunday, Sony pushed through wholesale price changes that moved the retail price of Houston's The Ultimate Collection from £4.99 to £7.99, and Whitney, The Greatest Hits, from $7.99 to $9.99. The label moved the prices back to their original level later that day, you know, after everyone, you know, shit a brick. The story flared up throughout the web yesterday, and Sony wouldn't comment on the matter until this afternoon. Here's the apology statement. Whitney Houston product was mistakenly mispriced on the UK iTunes store on Sunday. When discovered, the mistake was immediately corrected. We apologize for any offense caused.
Bullshit.
Bullshit.
That's...
It's like, you got caught.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me raise my watch above my head because my boots are already done for. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. They got caught. And that's why it took them so long. They're like, because, you know, there's like five guys in suits going, fuck do we say?
No, guys in suits who said, well, we just killed Whitney, so now we need to jack up the prices. Actually, well, you know, that argument doesn't quite work, because if they knew they were going to kill her, they would have jacked him up just before. But
just beforehand, yeah. So,
all right, well, I guess they're not quite that evil. But, yeah, that's you know. But a bunch of, from what I understand, a bunch of stores did that too. You know, all their old Whitney Houston stock went back out on the shelves with the prices jacked up.
That's awesome and fucked up all at the same time.
And not really surprising in the least.
Yeah, it's really, really not. But she was a horrible, horrible singer anyways.
I feel like I'm not using sound effects enough, so you know, I either need to just get rid of them or use them a lot more. So I don't know which. So I'm sure we'll get feedback. Actually, I should let you know I adjusted the feedback form. Sard actually gets copied on all the feedback stuff now since he does the station programming.
Yeah.
So anybody suggesting music, just throwing that out there, just go ahead and use that music feed. There's a feedback form and there's a music suggestion form. Just those are great. Everyone involved gets copies. It works fine. So
yeah, music suggestion. Whoever, if anyone suggests Whitney Houston, my suggestion is to kick ban them.
Yeah, if we get the Whitney Houston suggestions, it'll see. The thing is, we only play Creative Commons and open music. Whitney Houston's music is owned, so we're not playing it. Yeah. I'm not getting my ass sued. That's the short version of it. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing I need to look at for my show is to get some to find some good music to open and close the show.
Yeah. You know what? Looking at the time, I'm going to skip this Mozilla story because there's not – it's kind of interesting, but there's not really that much to it. The only real reason I wanted it in here is because we'll just skim it. Mozilla plans on asking all certificate authorities to review their subordinate CA certificates and revoke those that could be used by companies to inspect SSL encrypted traffic for domain names they don't own. what they're talking about here is, and a lot of firewall makers actually, and IDS makers actually sell their product based on the ability to do this. And this is where they proxy all HTTPS traffic leaving a network through their IDS or their firewall. And they've purchased a CA certificate, so they can actually do their own certificate signing.
And oh, yeah. Okay.
So what'll happen is every time you try to open an SSL connect, you know, HTTPS page, the proxy intercepts it, sends you a certificate that they've signed, so you get SSL between you and the proxy. Then the proxy opens up a fresh connection to where you actually want it to go. You know, your banking site, Facebook login, Gmail, whatever, right? And then...
But not OKCupid. Did you hear about that?
No, I haven't heard about that.
Okay. Okay. Sub story. OKCupid, the largest dating site on the interwebs, just in the last week or so, has started to ask people, hey, do you want your login and email and all of your data sent through SSL? And they actually give you an option, yes or no.
Well, I would assume yes is the answer.
That's what I would choose. But I just found out for the last so many years that they've been online, and they still haven't implemented SSL yet.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, for the last so many years, all of that stuff for OKCupid.
Gone in the clear. Oh, my God.
Has just been, yeah, just going plain text. So all of you single... Yeah, so all
I'm
of you...
I'm glad I used a throwaway password on that site. Shit.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Yeah, it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the open internet, people.
Pretty much. But anyways, just to round out the Mozilla thing here, essentially, this would create a man-in-the-middle effect with the firewall. And it breaks the intention of SSL without actually breaking SSL. What it's doing is it's proxying the HTTPS connection and actually terminating the connection with the firewall as though the firewall were the end user, and then setting up a fresh tunnel between the firewall and the client.
Oh, so all you have to do is gain access to the firewall.
Yeah, or just, you know, man in the middle and do this on your own. Because, you know, CA certificates are so hard to get.
Oh, I know.
And
I
actually
know.
A lot of companies do this without even getting a CA certificate. They just drop their own... you know, self-signed certificate on all their workstations. So go ahead.
How many people really understand when they see, you know, they're surfing the web on HTTPS, and the little thing comes up that says, we don't recognize the signer of this certificate.
I want to see my boobs. Yeah, you just click accept.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, no, I'm looking at porn. I just want to see this. You know, accept, whatever. Yes, install shit, whatever. Yeah, click next, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, they just want to see the
boobs. Bonzi buddy? What?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, join botnet. Yeah, sure. Why not? So, you know,
yeah,
20 toolbars. Yeah, sure. I probably need those. Why not? I mean, but.
Join. That's funny. Join botnet. Yeah. No, that's perfect. You know what?
I'm not sure I should actually. I did a test one time.
Those were big air quotes.
And I sent out a link that says, "Don't click this; your machine will be added to a botnet." And I got like 40 people to click the link.
That's awesome.
And it's just now, like, you know, of course, all it did was went to a page. It's like, what are you doing?
are you new? Yeah.
It's like, well, if this had been an actual attack, you would have been a moron.
Yeah. I don't remember if it was me and you or me and someone else, but talking about the best way to infect an entire office building is you get one of the little cruiser stick drives.
Yep.
And replace the little auto run with a little auto run of your own.
Oh, the best one is where you swap out the U3.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is.
Because it's just a CD image on there. So yep. You load up the CD image with the whole, you know, connect back to my CNC server.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's like, oh, look, I just got everybody.
Yeah, if you really want to make sure you get everybody with it, put a little label on it that says HR department. And if you don't want to go, you know, specifically buy one with the U3, make use of, say, your average Word or Adobe exploit and put files on there that say HR confidential budget plan, some bullshit like that. Anybody who sees it will open it, and they'll probably email it to their friends. So
fuck yeah, no kidding. Right?
I mean, it's, you know,
or pictures of kittens and bunnies and shit like that, because that shit gets sent around.
Yeah, but anyways, back to the Mozilla story. The only real reason I wanted to cover it is Mozilla is asking the certificate authorities to maybe revoke certificates that could be used to set up this kind of SSL man in the middle, which is mostly, you know, the IDS vendors are actually selling it as a feature. But the only reason I even wanted to talk about it is I don't think most people were aware that you could do that. That, yes, you actually can man in the middle SSL. It just takes a little bit more work.
Yeah, and that's probably one of the easiest ways to compromise SSL.
Oh, yeah, no, you man in the middle it. You either swipe a certificate from something else or just get a self-signed certificate. I mean, because, you know, hacking a domain authority is so hard.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, they've done that several times. Anyways. Rocket Snail.
All right, so continuing on.
Yeah, this one's fun. This is from Bloomberg. Companies running computer networks essential to U.S. economic and national security will be required to better defend their systems from spies, hackers, and terrorists under bipartisan Senate legislation unveiled today. The bill called, and it really was today, February 14th. The bill called for identifying vital information networks and setting security requirements for companies and government agencies. Lawmakers and regulators say rules are needed to fight increasingly sophisticated cyber attacks capable of disrupting power grids, banks, and communication networks. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, douchebag, and a Nevada Democrat, has said he wants to bring the bill to the chamber's floor for a vote as soon as possible. The Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee scheduled a February 16th hearing on the measure, backed by Senators Lieberman, Connecticut Independent, Susan Collins, Maine Republican. So in other words, you got somebody from all the parties, so you get to stamp it with bipartisan. Yay. We settled on a plan that creates no new bureaucracy or heavy-handed regulations, Rockefeller said. It's premised on companies actually taking responsibility for securing their own networks. Good luck. A Bloomberg study released January 31st found that utilities, banks, and other operators of critical networks would have to spend almost 9 times more on computer defense to achieve security capable of preventing 95% of attacks, an increase to $46.6 billion a year from about $5.3 billion. Actually, I hope this passes, because this will mean job security for me.
Yeah, no kidding. But, okay, this is the where I start to see them, you know, throwing out buzzwords and...
Yeah, they don't know what they're talking about. I'm more worried they're going to slip shit in. It's like, oh, yeah, that bit from SOPA that we couldn't get through before, we'll just put it in here, SOPA, here.
And but I have never once seen a power grid be
I've
on
seen
a
them
network.
Blame it on hackers. Oh, yeah. Yes. No. They are on networks. There are coal-fired power plants with SCADA control systems that have them on the internet. Specifically,
really?
Oh yes. They're online so that essentially so your engineers can monitor them from their laptops. They can get reports out of the system. They can have it watching for indications. Send out text messages if the thing's about to explode. That kind of thing.
If they're doing it on site with a laptop, wouldn't you just, you know, like,
it
not
should be it should that? Be on an air-gapped network, absolutely.
Yeah.
But have you ever actually tried to convince a company to install an air-gapped network? Because those things are expensive. And it's like, oh, yeah, but our CEO wants to be able to hit it from home.
Why? The fuck does he need to look at shit for?
Because they want to, and he gets to make decisions because he signs the checks. So, oh, yes, power grids are on the internet. Now, absolutely, they should be air-gapped, and if they are going to be on the network, you firewall the hell out of those things and make them so the only way to get at it is via VPN. And then you have logging going on that thing like a hawk. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Because, absolutely, you get in screw-up SCADA systems, because that's how... That if you remember Stuxnet, SCADA systems is what Stuxnet targeted. And SCADA is used in everything. I mean, it's not just for power plants, but actually, RU tell you some funny stories about some Australian banks in Windows 2000.
Nice.
Like, they were still running Windows 2000 last year.
That's awesome.
A lot of bank ATMs. I don't know if you've ever watched as they install them. What do they run? Mostly Windows 2000, Windows XP.
Yeah, and
they're
all the
on
photo
networks.
And all the photo kiosks are running Windows. Running Linux.
Yeah, several of them are. In fact, I remember specifically seeing a photo kiosk a few years ago where somebody had just plugged it in. And it's like, I recognize that. That's the Red Hat 7.3 Lilo screen.
Yeah.
I know that. What is wrong with me?
Yeah. I remember watching one that some little fucking stupid snot-nosed fucking res kid from out here. I don't know what the hell he did. He either poured fucking, cola on it or kicked it, or I don't even know, just drooled his snot on it. But he made something flip right the fuck out, because this poor box, because they have screens on all four sides.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all four of these screens was showing, it was booting up where it got to where it was loading a bunch of the stuff. There's a little green pass on the side that usually
it's bringing up the services. Yeah.
Yeah, going by very quickly.
Daemons.
And it'd go up and then it would stop with one big one that said, thing was all fail red, and it just stopped, and it would stay there for about 15 seconds and it would reboot. And it's like,
probably the hard drive.
Wow.
Somebody's probably kicked it wherever the hard drive is one too many times.
Yeah. So that was one of those where I'm like, ooh, hey, fuck, I recognize that. What the fuck? Well, it's running Linux.
Yeah, it is amazing the number of places where they've put desktop PCs to run these systems.
Yeah.
So actually, several point-of-sale systems these days are usually like a Windows XP. But I was visiting a friend of my sister's one time in the store she worked at. And, they were talking, and she flipped around the point-of-sale system to show my sister something. And it's like, that is an old version of KDE on. It's like, why do I know that? But I mean, it's like, yeah. So, anyways, looking at the time, I actually managed to fill out the show. That's good, because if I had to do the show by myself, I would have been done by now. So,
yeah.
It's time for this.
Me love you long time.
Okay, I don't actually have that much in Digital Dojo tonight, just two things. One of them being a replacement for Daemon Tools. WinCDEMU, sysprogs.org, it's an open source CD, DVD, Blu-ray drive emulator. And the tool allows you to mount optical disc images by clicking on them in Windows Explorer. ISO, QNRG, MDS or MDF, CCD, and IMG files are supported. Yeah, this thing's open source, it's free, it's small, you don't even have to reboot after you install it, and it's not sending what you mount off to some server.
Yay!
And actually, there's a portable version that you can, just have a bunch of ISO files on a thumb drive and this, and you're good to go.
Dude, that's awesome.
A very nice little program. So, yeah, don't use Daemon Tools, it's tracking you, use this thing. It's open source, so you can see if it's tracking you or not.
Oh, hey, question.
Yeah.
Okay. Do they make Bluetooth storage devices?
I'm not aware of one, but I don't know why you couldn't. I mean, I've done file transfers over Bluetooth before, so I don't know why you couldn't.
Yeah. For the pure reason, a lot of these new stupid-ass tablets don't have USB ports. They don't have any of that, but they have Bluetooth.
Yeah.
So then you could, if you could get a Bluetooth storage unit, you could then put your image and your emulator and run it off of your little tablet.
I don't see any reason you couldn't do that. It's not, you'd need to run a small file server host, essentially, a little ARM processor and a Bluetooth module, but you could do that. I'm not aware of one existing, but I'm not aware of any reason why you couldn't do it. It'd be the same as those little network attached storage boxes that are just a micro Linux and Samba.
Yeah. Yeah. All you little developers out there, get on that. I want one.
So next up, this one's from unremote.org. This is fun. The Browser Forensics Tool is a software that will search for all kinds of browser history, even archived, in a few seconds. It will retrieve URLs and the title with chosen keywords match of a... Man, the English from that site is bad. Of all matching search. You can use the default example profiles or create yours with the Mantic search. Okay, what this thing actually does, it's a small tool, no install, you just run it, and you could run it from a thumb drive. You give it a set of keywords, and it has what it calls profiles, which are just sets of keywords, and you can make your own, or you can just use one of the ones provided. And it goes through, you have to close the browsers, but it goes through the history files of all the major browsers that are installed on a box, searching for these keywords in the URL and the page titles. So, if you want to see what somebody's been doing very quickly, you pop this up, you run it, you get all the URLs they've been looking at that have a particular set of keywords in them, and you're done.
Nice.
So,
and didn't Desperate One just looked at me and goes, I'm fucking using that. I'm seeing where you've gone.
Well, you can already go into the history file of individual browsers, but this just automates it and makes it very, very quickly. So, if you're doing forensics work or you just want to blackmail somebody, this is your tool.
I think she just wants to see the amounts and the variety of the fucked up porn I've been looking at.
Or just save the bookmarks. You never know.
Yeah, well, see, she wants to do it, she says, to map out, the
She has to see the areas that she needs to start practicing in, right?
Exactly,
There you go. So there's that. There's, of course, good old-fashioned blackmail. There's also...
Yeah, see, like Desperate One just said, it's a learning aid. So, and because it's Valentine's Day here, because it's Celebrate Corporate Greed Day, I guess the Desperate One's probably the only girl listening. But if there is any others out there.
We got a couple of listeners. Could be another one on.
Get this program, run it. Look at your boyfriend's history, look at the porn he's looking at, and reenact it for him.
That's one way to get a ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Immediately, they'll be like, oh my God, fucking marry me.
So, either that, or you'll figure out if they're smart enough to clear out their browser history when they're done.
Yeah.
Or if there was this invention a little while back called about private mode, just a thought. So, obviously, this isn't going to catch that stuff, but... This usually, when you're dealing with a forensic situation, you're probably got somebody who isn't too smart in the first place, and they don't realize it, or they don't think, well, nobody else ever uses this computer, so who cares, right?
Yeah.
So that said, that's everything I've got for tonight. Promos, listen to the stream. We're constantly updating it, and Sard is always looking for new music. If you have new Creative Commons and open source music that's not by Whitney Houston, you can go to the feedback form on the Galaxy 15 site and let us know about that so we can add it to the rotation if it's good. I Have Nothing every Saturday, Pure Decking every Tuesday and Thursday. I think I've already mentioned the Galaxy 15 site, and also there's a Twitter handle. Now, I don't actually post anything on the Twitter handle anymore, but the site's automated. So every time something new hits the site, it gets Twittered, which That's can awesome. Now be censored in China and everything else.
And everywhere else, yeah.
Yeah. So, but...
And hopefully, Between the Sheets will be coming out very, very soon.
Outstanding. We'll talk about that off air.
Okay, cool. We don't want to give anything away to the two listeners that are listening.
No, not at all.
No. Oh, and for my cousin, who I was talking with today, she said she might be listening sometime. And for her, the game.
Toasty!
I guess this would have been more appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. I got her so many friggin' times with that today. It was fun finding new and interesting ways to
They're making a new tabletop game based on Lost. You hear about that? You know what it's called?
Really?
Yeah, it's called Lost the Game. Now, oh, that was bad. That was just bad. I'm just going to close on that. That was horrible.
That was awesome and epic. And actually, one of the fun ones was I sent a picture message of the, what was it, 1995 smash hit, the game, to someone. Yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, fuck.